Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series presentation. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This program is titled Conflict, Gossip, Harassment, and Destructive Behavior, How to Neutralize a Negative Workplace Environment by Bruce Lee. Tom, what was the highlight that caught your attention as you listened to Bruce's presentation?
Bill, a negative workplace can be summed up in two words, poor attitude. Several years ago, I remember a presentation that stated that 50% of the customers that stopped working with a business didn't stop because of the product, they didn't stop because of the service, they didn't even stop because of the price. They stopped working with a business because of the attitude of one or more of the employees they came in contact with. This simply emphasizes what Bruce is talking about, which is the need to neutralize the workplace environment.
Oh, you're right, Tom. You know, I was blown away by the statement that he made that on average, 22% of the workforce hates you. Wow. That's a problem that really needs to be solved if the company is going to run efficiently. Bruce also mentioned that miscommunication is the number one cause of workplace conflict, poor morale, and poor teamwork. Let's face it, if a company wants to build a team of employees working toward a common goal, then creating an environment where people actually work together is going to be critical. Now, Bruce doesn't need a whole lot of introduction here. Listeners that have been with us for the past 15 or 20 years have listened to Bruce's past six presentations. Bruce is an international event speaker, coach, MC, and author. His passion is working with individuals and organizations by offering real solutions to their current challenges through high-value, what-to-do, content-rich information, an engaging style, and real-life situations that all audiences can relate to. I would also like to point out that Bruce has generously provided a PDF of all of his slides that go along with this presentation. They can be downloaded by clicking on the supplemental information link provided with this program. And now, with conflict, gossip, harassment, and destructive behavior, how to neutralize a negative workplace environment, here's Bruce Lee with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an interesting session on conflict, gossip, harassment, and destructive behavior. In other words, how to neutralize a negative workplace environment, just in case any of those words are sounding familiar as to what's going on for you. This is my sixth presentation for Prophet University, and I certainly hope you had a chance to listen to some of the other ones. As you may know, all my other sessions have been focusing on some form of engagement and productivity and accountability. So it's really about how to take control of your day life and career. Today's session is really about how to take control of people's negative behavior, which is what we see people doing or saying, and how it negatively affects us and others, because negative behavior lowers self-esteem. Certainly the person it's aimed at, others around it, undermines performance, and more importantly, damages relationships, certainly the chain of command, decreased productivity. And the reason the session for Prophet University is it can lead to a loss of customers as they can see the conflict, feel the tension, get uncomfortable dealing with their, because they want to work with companies that have a good atmosphere, friendly employees, a great attitude by everybody. So this is about understanding that there's a cost to you, to your reputation of not dealing with any of this negative behavior. And in fact, some employees will go out of their way to talk about what's wrong, and that's just not right, why that's so important. So we need to understand that what causes people to get stressed out, you know, that when they do, they may skip safety rules and procedures, so important to you. That's when mistakes happen, and they're paying attention to other things instead of what really matters. And we want to deal with a lot of that. So it's not about avoiding difficult people. It's about solving the problem, because it's important for a lot of reasons, and I'll get into it, you know, and this is really important. So, you know, in live sessions, I'll say to people, how many here work with difficult people or live with difficult people or gave birth to difficult people or have difficult customers. Well, the reality is, well, what caused them to become difficult? There's only two real reasons for it that you can control. There's a third one I want to introduce as an interesting concept too. But generally, difficult people are the sort of people who don't do what you want them to do or do what you don't want them to do, and you don't know what to do about them. You don't know how to deal with their behavior. It's uncomfortable for you, which is sometimes what they want to take advantage of. So this really is about creating better results for you. So let's get into it. So what this is all about, let me get this slide to work, is the bottom line to these people is understanding it's by not dealing with it, it's a loss of productivity, can be a big loss of business, certainly it's a loss of time. And since you're dealing with these issues, time is money for everybody involved, so it'll be you for them. So if you're correcting them, monitoring them, disciplining them, it's still taking time, which is money, away from being productive, which is about doing the job. Certainly it's about, if you don't do anything about it, your good talent leaves, leaving behind the bad attitudes. And above all, it's about loss of self-esteem for you and for those affected by that. And if you're not feeling good about yourself, you're not producing good results. People who like what they do, like who they work for, like themselves, produce better results. And I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as the session goes on. Also, I like to say it's putting this into different perspective. It's about creating win-win solutions for everybody. You know, when somebody brings you a problem or becomes a problem, it's saying there's something that needs to be addressed and it's something you may not be aware of, and that's why it's so important. It's about winning over difficult people to help them become friends and solution-orientated. By how you address that. It's about having fierce conversations. And what fierce means in the context of the book on fierce conversations simply means having really detailed, strong, focused conversations about what the issue is and solving it. So it's not about, you know, about avoiding it. It's about stopping workplace bullying. And I'll talk about that in the context of harassment, because that's the older term. Bullying is kind of the new term. Either way, not good, because it's totally a negative toward everybody there, and people may not be aware of what it's doing, but the effect it has is huge. It's about ending disruptive behavior, which is all of these things. It's about understanding that when you get rid of conflict, you detox your workplace, and some places have toxic workplaces, which means a lot of things that are going wrong. And above all, I like to say this really is about results management. So what do you want to have, create, do differently, do better, and being in control of it? In other words, zero tolerance of negative behavior that takes away from your productivity and your profitability and your reputation. So I think it's all things that matter. So where I want to go with that, it's about mastery of these communication skills that give you control over any situation, gives you authority from knowing what works. It's, as has been defined, it's the upper hand in the situation, because you know where you want to go with this. You have confidence about where you're going to go. And the bottom line to all this information, it's proven from experience. I've been delivering workshops on this for 20 some odd years. They're practical, easy to do, because the solution is there if you want it. You know, so, and it's not about the avoidance, it's about addressing it head on. And it's about performance, why that's so important. So what I like to say to people in any session is, you know, make sure you make notes about good ideas, about what you're going to act on them, when you're going to start doing them. It's the so what of education. So as a result of listening to this session, what are you going to do with the information? What's the issue you're going to address, and sharing this information, your results with others, why that's so important. It's about making it happen. So let's start with this interesting statistic. Stephen Covey, when he was doing research for his book, The Eighth Habit, which is about what got people up to work in the morning, what was their reason for being. When he interviewed 3,700 people in key positions in key industries, what he found is that only half the people were happy with their work at the end of the week, which meant was that what the reason people weren't happy, which people see by negative behavior, is they weren't excited about their job, their co-workers, the company, the product, services, where it was going, the vision, the mission. They weren't excited about the organization, period. They weren't fulfilled in the context of their ability to contribute. They weren't bringing their best mental power to work every day. They're more the body than the mental capacity. There's no clarity on priorities, which is why I like to suggest organizations have semi-annual SWOT meetings, strategic planning sessions, figure out where they want to go, figure out what the roadblocks are, but also really getting clear on what the priorities are based on that and creating this exciting new vision of where you want to go. It's about how do we engage employees for the context that an engaged employee is 20% more productive, 20% better bottom line, a whole bunch of reasons for that. They weren't engaged. There's no team building, there's no effort, there's no communication, all those things that drive that. They had low trust or no trust. They're bogged down with bureaucracy and rules and regulations, making it difficult to work with the customer and for the customer to work with the be it the sales rep or the service provider. And above all, there's this thing called distractions, which is really what this session is all about. And distractions, the definition for it is how employees do the work when the boss is not around, which really means what do you let people get away with? Because the person with the worst attitude normally sets the level of the experience for the rest of the people by what we tolerate. And I want to talk about why that's so important. So these may be some of the people you work with. You know, and bear in mind that people and situations change, but this is just kind of a good introduction to that. So when it comes to what causes this type of behavior, generally there's only two things that create negativity. One is it's about performance, what people do or don't do. And it's saying that where the expectation of a team member of somebody else isn't met. So when they don't do what they say they're going to do, when they don't make their commitment, don't keep their promise, don't keep the contract, trust is broken, teamwork's not as effective. And it's this thing called unfulfilled expectations that's so important. So are you going to do what you say you're going to do regardless of the situation? Do you keep your word? That's so important. The second thing is about relationships. And I like to say it's really about what we see people doing. It's their behavior. So it can be their interpersonal skills or their personality, which is the problem, because some people don't have personalities. That's what we let them get away with. Or sometimes these personalities become the wrong one for our company, and why that's so important. So it's controlling those. Now I'm going to introduce a third one a little bit later on. So people we work with have been giving interesting titles. We have the confrontational type people, the bullies, snipers, explosives, troublemakers, challengers, gripers, jammer queens. We have people who are passive, don't do what we want them to do. You know, the slackers, clingers, space cadets, know-it-alls, I sometimes call those teenagers, the no negative pessimist people. And we have the prima donnas, and people just call quiet. Then we have the childish ones, the whiners, pouters, tattletales, gossipers, bellyachers, sometimes called jerks, sometimes called busybodies. Then we have the toxic ones. I want to share that in a second about why that's so important. So if we define them as toxic, do we terminate or tolerate? A friend of mine by the name of Bill Eddy, a lawyer out of San Diego, has a book called High Conflict People and Legal Disputes. And what he's saying is there's about 3% of the population we never, ever, ever will win with. They're the ones that cause lawsuits, create lawsuits. You read about in the paper. They're so convinced their way is the only way that you don't matter. And it's kind of the summation, just so you know, that if you're dealing with these people, what he says is the best way to deal with them is it's called BIF. Be brief in your information. Be informative about what you're doing, what the expectation is. Be friendly, not antagonistic, but be firm in what you're asking and move on with it. So just, you know, there's these high conflict people. However, if we don't solve situations with people, they will create the high conflict for us. And that's where the issue is. And that's what this session is all about. So the reality is when we have conflict, negative behavior, it lowers the productivity in the organization, because what happens is if we're being oppressed and put down and made negative comments about, we don't feel good about ourselves. So we don't bring our best to work. We don't care. We're not engaged. We're not supportive. We don't come early. Don't stay late. All the right things we need to do when we're looking on the fast track and the performance fast track. Taylor Research says up to 70% of a company's value is based on the skills, experience, and performance of its employees. And of course, that's true. I know in most organizations I've worked with over the years is that whenever I start a new job, I'm not that, I don't know how to do everything quite so well, but as I get some experience, my performance goes up, my productivity goes up, the organization gets better. And it's really about how well we support our people and make them feel important, that as they get more skills, feel a part of the organization, feel good about themselves, get the training, get the experience, get the, you know, go through the training, that their skills get better and become more productive. And of course, our company becomes more productive. And that's why training is so important to everybody. And that's where we want to go with that. But if we don't feel good about ourselves, that won't happen. So that's why this is so important. So we need to understand, well, what are some of the barriers? Well, you know, we need to stop gossip cold. We need to set boundaries. We need to pick the right time to have that talk with that negative person, which means not at the end of the day, but at the beginning of the day. We need to focus on solutions. We need to relook at, well, what most managers do wrong, and I'm going to, you know, end the session with that. We need to look at behavior and attitude and the challenges that arise from this and why that's so important. Another interesting and disappointing statistic says that 22% of your colleagues at work hate you. So survey says at some point in time, depending on the organization, up to 1 out of 5 people don't like who they work with. And up to 1/3 of those people have at some point in time left that work to go to someplace else where they feel better about who they work with. And that really is saying that the culture hasn't been controlled about the behavior, what other people are saying, that if they're making you feel uncomfortable, people will go to work for different organizations where they feel a little better about that. One of the other disappointing issues, the American Mental Health Association says that 1 out of 3 workers will have some sort of chronic behavioral problem during their working career. And that's true. From my point of view about working with people and myself, I think that happens because we get too stressed out, too overly committed, too many demands on our time. We don't know how to handle it. We don't get the support we need. That we tend to make the wrong decisions based on the stress, the pressure on us, and we need help. And we may take it out on our coworkers, and that's not good. So we need to address that. And a stressful workplace, people will resort to antidepressants, will resort to drugs, productivity goes down, and there's a huge cost to organizations based on that. So that's why we need to stop the negativity. So let's take a quick look at some of the problem employees, because if we don't handle them properly, it kind of expands. So we have the anti-management attitude type employee where everything is always management's fault. And they're the ones who will spread rumors and gossip about people and things and situations that may not be true, but from their perception. And we have the antisocial people. And these are the people who shouldn't work with anybody. They're just not people. And that's okay if they have good skills, we can work with that. Or the sort of people who won't share their knowledge or help others because they just don't like other people. Then we have the fault finder where everything is always negative. They won't find solutions, won't try and get creative. They certainly don't want to celebrate anybody else's success. And then we have the time wasters. That's where we have a lot of loss of productivity. It's the person that comes in late, leaves early, long lunches, coffee in hand, kind of the Wall-E and the Dilbert cartoon, or the waste time of others. So the question is, well, so which one, where do you get stuck? What's your roadblock? What type of behavior don't you handle well that allows you to impact you? So we want to kind of deal with some of those issues. The problem with these difficult people, negative people, is they're always pushing hot buttons. Who has hot buttons? We all have hot buttons. Who knows them best? People who know you and who are losing an argument. So they'll push the hot button. They'll destroy morale and relationships by being persistently negative, by spreading gossip. And the antidote to that is in one of the other sessions I delivered for this organization, which is The Power of Trust, which dealt with how to engage and support people. It creates the sort of thinking because of faulty perception. Their behavior helps you cross the line by what they say and do and how you respond to it. They are unprofessional, or they use obnoxious behavior or foul language, which includes swearing. They certainly cause frustration to everybody, reduce productivity because of time wasters. They spread innuendo, which could be the gossip. They imply sexual harassment, and we'll talk about harassment in a little broader detail as well. They make offhand discriminatory remarks. And then the reason I put my mother comment there is that I was making a comment to her at a restaurant one time, and I was a little bit loud in being supportive of my stance about something she didn't like, and somebody who walked by heard it and thought it was meant to her, and that was not the case at all. So a lot of times we may hear things taken personally. They really aren't meant about us, but because we take things personally, we react personally, and that's important. So these offhand remarks can be really bad, with the end result to it. Or these people have consistent bad hygiene, they wear inappropriate clothing, poorly decorated workspaces, vehicles, you know, things like that, all these things that matter. And this about loss of productivity is what it's saying, is it takes time to get to all sides of the story, make a decision. And I just put some example there about why, you know, since time is money, if you have to spend half an hour a day dealing with 3 people, that's $60 or more that you're going to spend in lost productivity. And your and the bottom line is your good talent leaves. So what do you need to do about this? Well, the answer to this is you need to do something, because silence means consent. And what that's really saying is, you know, David Rabiner said, negativity is the single most destructive force in the workplace today. And that is so true, because when people are negative, we just don't feel good about being around them or about ourselves. And that's how they spread it to us. They make us become the problem, which is not the case. And we need to have that great, you know, team building, friendly, looking forward to go to work environment, and why that's so important. Now, the one thing we have in common with anybody else is communication, because that's really all how we communicate. But the problem is, if we don't communicate, people will make things up. And that's where the real issue is. As has been said, miscommunication is reported to be the number one cause of workplace conflict, low morale, and poor teamwork. And that is certainly true, because people will make up things. They don't hear the right story behind that. So we need to make sure that we communicate at all levels. Well, that starts with creating an engaged workforce. And I like to say that an engaged workforce is not an option, because it's everybody together. Your job is to keep the good people you've got by supporting them. People stay at jobs because they can't bear leaving their colleagues, so says Beverly Kay. And that's true. We like to go to work because we know we're going to work with our friends and have that good relationships and know we're all working together to solving somebody's problem, which is what you do. You are the solution to somebody's problem, while making sure that people understand that their job, regardless of what level, is important to getting it done, and they matter and they make a difference, and that's so important. Why that's so important? It's about creating sticky relationships, and that just means the personal relationships and employee loyalty is really important. And the better we have the team building activities, the interpersonal relationships, the better when it comes to making sure we don't have these communication issues that we're going to address in a minute here. So this thing called the five attitudes of engagement just means we have the superstars, people like being around, the natural leaders, we look forward to working with them, we'll follow them anywhere. We have what are called winners, which are people who come in early, stay late, get the job done, bring ideas, their creativity, make progress, they get ahead, they make a difference. And we have the grinners, the people who just get by, sit on the fence. They need a lot of leadership, they need coaching, it's important. Then we have the whiners. The whiners are the people who do as little as possible. They want something for nothing. They actually control the culture. Then we have the bottom level of engagement is called the slugs. And those are people who shouldn't work anywhere, but termination is the solution. Or as I like to say, they're encouraged to find work elsewhere, because obviously our company is not the right company for you, because you don't demonstrate the behaviors that matter to us. And that's important. So in a good organization, you know, about 50% of the people are what are called the grinners, and we want to keep moving them up to become the winners and the superstars, but the problem is the whiners and the slugs bring them down, and we want to eliminate that, which is why this contest is so important. So the workplace culture, so if we don't do anything about it, it becomes the organization's way of life or how we do things here. And it's about these unwritten rules. So some of the unwritten rules are things like smokers get longer break, or people go, it's not my job, so they don't have to do it. Or they go, well, that's just the way he, she, they are. Or that department gets all the resources, they get all the new equipment, we don't get anything. Or, well, that's just the way we've always done it. You know, there's just no other way to look at it. So not good unwritten rules. We need to pinpoint the problem of what's going on. So we need to gather all the details, be direct in talking to people, what really happened, or identify the behaviors that make them difficult for you. So what is that person doing? We need to record the information, make some observations. What have others said about that? The quicker, the better. We need to understand how we respond to these type of comments, how it affects us. We need to get as many people involved as possible. We need to clearly explain actions, identify the consequences to coworkers about what may happen if this type of performance continues. Don't be vague about it. What do we really want people to do when there's negative behavior? I'll talk about that in a little more detail. And then we need to figure out, did that actually work? So did this change the behavior that we wanted to cause with that? So let's start with one that's endemic in a lot of organizations. It's called gossip. I like to say, but what really causes gossip? Well, the thing is that I like to think of what causes gossip in a lot of cases is this word called jealousy. And so what causes jealousy? You know, it's been called the green-eyed monster. That it comes up in some organizations, and especially in personal relationships. I like to say jealousy is destructive because it's somebody trying to level the playing field. Somebody else has something the other person wants, and they get jealous of it and they want to correct it. They want rid of what other person has. So they'll make these innuendo statements. They'll create some gossip. They'll start spreading rumors. And that really becomes the issue as to why it's so important. Another reason that's important is if you look at it, we spend generally more time at work with our coworkers than we do at home with our family, except on weekends. And that's why this is so important to understand this. So gossip can destroy a team and everybody's reputation. So if there is gossip, we need to eliminate it right away. Don't procrastinate. Deal with it. Say, I heard this. What's going on? Set up a meeting for each employee and individual that's involved in it. Explain the reason for the meeting, why you need to talk about what you heard, and the benefit of having this difficult conversation. Review all the relevant policies that can affect them that you may already have in place, or start setting some that come in place, which is zero tolerance. You go into most healthcare facilities right now, and there's a sign that says destructive behavior will not be tolerated, and some sort of penalty associated with that. Ensure after the conversation they understand why you brought them in, what you're expecting of them, what they're going to do, and identify specify the consequences if they don't do that. So clear it up as soon as you can. It's so critical. You need to put a lid on gossip, the complainer, the whiner, the tattletale. And just some examples I have. Says, Jim, I need to see you. Go to a quiet private office. Watch your body language as you're talking to them. You want to stay calm. You don't want to be aggressive. You want to be open, warm, be respectful. It's how you talk to them, tone of voice, the actual words you use. You say, I understand you said Brian and whatever the issue is, and deal with that, whatever that issue is, what you heard. Have you told him you said that? And depending where they go with that. And you might want to confront them by going, well, would you like me to tell him you said that? And then see what they say about that. And if they go, no, you go, well, why not? Well, you're saying that about him. Why or her? Why would you want me to say that? If you're not going to say it to their face. No. Should I set up a meeting for you to talk about it? They're probably going to say no, but if they say yes, great. You go, and if they go, no, I'd be happy to. Should I call them to come in here now? No. So if you're making these comments, why wouldn't you want to talk about it directly? We need to figure this out, and it's going to stop now. And just be really firm about what the problem is, because you need to solve that, because they may take it, obviously, personally, and it'll affect their productivity. So the other causes of difficult behavior is stress. And there's good stress and there's bad stress. Good stress is from being promoted. Bad stress can be from being promoted, or too many issues going on, or not enough finances, or, healthcare issues, or family issues. So there's all sorts of bad stress, and it affects us emotionally and behaviorally. And what happens is generally when we react verbally negatively, it's because of lack of flexibility about being able to do something, which is why it's important that companies have policies for dealing with people in conflicted times, why that's so important. So we need to, if we want to get rid of difficult behavior, we need to eliminate the stress, which comes from communication and a solution and giving more options to that. So we need to stay in control. Whenever we're dealing with difficult people, don't overreact to what's going on. Don't take the bait. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't become the problem. Let them say what they need to say. It's called let them vent. Don't interrupt them. Restate what they said for understanding. Put it in writing so it looks like you can do something about it. Can you find common ground with what the complaint, what the problem is? Can you agree with them? If not, deal with it. What if they don't calm down? Well, that's when you need to be firm. And talk to them about what the expectation is and what the performance behavior is for your company. Trigger words to avoid could be the hot buttons, things like I can't, don't, won't, never, no, and understand that, because people are maybe looking for a yes or a let's talk about it or let's work on it. And avoid making personal comments such as you never seem to want to, or you're always making rude comments. Well, that's not true. I've heard you say this a few times, and it disappoints me, because that's not the philosophy of our company. That's what we're not what we're known for. So talk about, from the highest level you can, and understand that emotions are always in play when people are angry or upset. Their emotions and your emotions, and not a good situation, because when we're emotional, we're not logical. We are not in control of our facilities, because whenever we get angry, get upset, we immediately go to the emotional side of our brain, which is where our knowledge isn't. And in order to become, to stay logical, it requires effective communication, which means don't get upset, stay in control. So be open, be engaged, be appreciative. And the, you know, the paradox of difficult people is, you know, there are no difficult people except where you allow them to become difficult to you because of their behavior isn't acceptable to you. But, you know, look at the best in people. What do they really bring? Do they have some good skills? And are they just a little bit out of control right now? Well, again, you want to, you know, put a damper on that. So we need to retain emotional control. We need to stay calm. We need to breathe. Take a good breath. Control your self-talk. Well, self-talk is, you know, here's that idiot again. No, what do I want to happen? What do I want to accomplish here? What outcome do I really want to do here? Instead of, you know, man, this person's always disappointing me with their behavior. No, what do I really want to have differently? Because they do have some good strengths. Control your hot buttons. Understand if they are pushing your hot buttons, the words that you don't like or phrases you don't like or appearance you don't like. If you can, avoid them, the situation if possible. But do try acknowledging them for what they do bring, in the sense of if there's a glimmer of truth to what you're hearing, that's important to work on. So let's quickly talk about harassment or workplace bullying. Generally, it's been described as acts of verbal comments that can mentally hurt or isolate somebody you work with. So it's what they say that you allow them to get away with. So it includes repeated negative actions or a pattern of behavior that intends to intimidate, offend, degrade, or humiliate a group of people deliberately or just kind of unintentionally, but that's what it does. Or it's also been described as the assertion of power through aggression. And aggression can be the verbal component of how people say things by what they do. So it's about spreading malicious rumors, gossip, innuendo. It's excluding or isolating somebody socially. It's intimidating them by what they say, by the tone, the tempo, the rate, the volume, the size. It's about undermining or deliberately impeding a person's work. It's about physically abusing or threatening abuse. It's about taking away responsibility without cause. It's about constantly changing work guidelines. It's about establishing impossible deadlines. We're setting people up to fail. It's about withholding unnecessary information. It's making jokes that are obviously offensive. It's intruding on a person's privacy, assigning unreasonable duties or workloads. It's about not giving them meaningful work. It's about yelling, using profanity. It's about criticizing a person consistently. It's belittling their opinion. It's unwarranted or undeserved punishment. Or it's blocking applications for training, leave, or promotion. Or it's tampering with a person's personal belongings or work equipment. All sorts of things that create that not good, not tolerated. So you need to defend yourself. But what does that mean? Well, it's about defending yourself from the point of view of drawing a line between professional criticism and bullying. And it's called the reasonable person test. The reasonable person test says, is would any reasonable person think this is bullying or harassment? Well, if the answer is yes, then it's not acceptable. If you do have that happen, meet that person and talk to them about their offensive behavior to you, to others. Document everything, reject appeasement, you know, which means it has to be the behavior will stop, and as appropriate, set up a policy about that it will not be tolerated, and explain legal issues, because you do not want to have this happen again, because it can be simply addressed right now. The sooner the better, why that's so important. We need to train people about why that's important, so the anti-bullying, anti-harassment, and understand all forms of it. Bullying leads to violence, you know, and can be, and self-abuse, and that's important. And you need to have some sort of reporting process about how harassment and bullying can be reported, you know, be it online or to HR or to you. So understanding why that's so important behind that. So the problem is, what managers do wrong is they tend to reward negative behavior. So people who complain get to be rewarded by not having to do whatever the activity was you wanted them to do. We tend to discuss attitude instead of behavior. We let employees get away with blaming others and not taking any responsibility, because why wouldn't they be a part of the solution if they're a part of the, you know, if they saw it, why wouldn't they want to take action and solve it then and there? You know, so put the blame back on them. Well, why didn't you do something about it at that time? Where that office politics get out of hand, there are people who deliberately manipulate others, or they're certainly opportunistic and they're self-promoting. They get away with it, so they're taking credit for things that aren't theirs, or they're taking advantage of situations that where they really shouldn't be taking advantage of, or where they should be making more opportunities. And we don't specify and document decisions about who does what. by when, especially deadlines, or we have our blinders on because, say, that person does good in other areas and why that's so important. We unintentionally play the heavy by start yelling. We take things personally, especially if it isn't them causing it. We use weak phrases. Well, I could be wrong. Well, no, you want to say, here's what I've heard. Or we add taglines to decisions that undermine what we said by seeming to ask for their approval. So we'll get back to you on that Thursday. Okay? No, don't undermine it by adding that tagline. Make the decision about what you're going to do. Or management refuses to make the changes necessary. And common excuses for things like, well, they're one of my top performers. It's not worth the conflict. I think they will change when we introduce the new or provide the new whatever, or their skills or their knowledge is worth the headaches. In most cases, that's not the case. So it's really about situation management. You need to decide how you will effectively deal with any type of negative and passive behavior now. When you do deal with them, you need to coach them as what you need them to do differently, to stop doing, start doing, how they need to report, how they need to talk, what isn't acceptable. We need to communicate effectively with them to inspire them to change for the desired outcome and understand its benefit to them. So some sort of understanding about how important they are and how important that behavior is bad, how important that behavior is to people, what the other scene, how it undermines the company's success and direction. We need to make sure we ask the right questions in order to get all the information at any point in time, send the right actionable message and decision. And bottom line, we need to resolve conflict and put people at ease. We need to make better decisions about how we're going to deal with people, build strong relationships, and leadership is showing strong communication skills to be effective, to be in control, to be in charge, and say, here's what's expected, here's what I want, here's how, and here's what's going to happen if it doesn't happen. Understand the importance of timing, when to deal with the issue, which is generally now or when you get a little bit more information so you can come at it from the point of view of what has been heard, what has been said, what has been reported, what's in the emails and that type of thing. You need to move from disciplining to motivating. So I like to say any sort of educational thing is behavior modification, understanding how important that is. And the bottom line, if that person is always complaining, it's called solve it or shove it. And the concept is if you're not going to do anything about it, we're okay with it. Don't talk about it. I don't want to hear this again. And as has been said, since we have two ears and one mouth, theoretically, it means we should listen twice as much as we talk. Not a bad reason, but we need to ask the right questions in order to hear the information to come up with a solution. So the bottom line to all this is the more effective you are when you communicate, the greater your opportunity to influence people, build relationships, lead more effectively, increase engagement of your talent, make change, and move up the corporate ladder. So again, it's talking about effective feedback. So you have descriptive words when you talk about what people are doing wrong. So the examples I've noticed, your report had a lot of typos again, a lot of mathematical errors. Perhaps you didn't proofread this carefully. Don't use judgment words. Your appearance isn't very good, Jim. You can do better. Talk about what it really looks like. Negative feedback needs to begin with an I. You know, I sense you're unprepared for this, to do this. I have difficulty, you know, just talk about how you are seeing it from. Do give positive feedback and talk about from the point of view of them. You did a great job getting this done. I appreciate the effort. Thank you for working overtime. Thank you for coming in late. Thanks for working on the weekend. Whatever it might be, show your appreciation of the professionalism, the skill, the knowledge, the attention to detail that it took to get that done. It's about, it's really about coaching people. So identifying the big picture from all angles. So asking for clarity, be specific, understand excuses, reconfirm what you know, practice active listening, set expectations. It's about creating a plan for people, help them create it. If there is an issue about what they're going to do differently, collaborate on what they need to do. You need to be clear, specific, needs to be feasible, focused about what the end result is, and understand there's different coaching hats we wear. And as I said, say it's as a supervisor, we are either the coach, the sheriff, the cheerleader, the relationship. It really matters. The relationship really matters in our position with them, why that's so important to us. The coaching is getting better. The sheriff is stopping behavior. The cheerleader is, you know, bringing out the best. And the relationship is our relationship matters. You know, you matter to me, that type of thing. So let me just sum up. Principles to act on. Number one is reinforce the shared and common goals of the organization about what you're there for when it comes to the customer and why it's so important that we have a great team and people see us from being cohesive and a good organization. Ensure there's no unresolved conflict at all. So when you do hear about it, deal with it by a certain time frame. Certainly the sooner the better, but you know, it may take time to get all the proper information about the who said what, where, and when, why it's so important. Seek to understand, which means asking, getting all the details, you know, the five W's, who, what, where, when, why, how, why that's so important. Ask a lot of questions. As has been said, the more you hear, the more you see. Focus on the what, not the who. Focus on the problem that that person brought up, not the personality. Sometimes personalities do get in the way, but we really want to solve the problem, which sometimes becomes that way. Assume the person had a positive intent behind it. Assume they are a good person and just something has gone wrong for them about how they're communicating for whatever reason. It's time to set them straight, you know, and create the new how to deal with that situation in the future. And then just say, well, what can you learn from this? What can you learn from this and how can you change it? So one of the bonuses to the session is if you go to my website, bruceleespeaker.com, there are some self-tests and a coaching document you can access for free that really get into how to measure people's behavior and attitude. One is the soft skills that get to loyalty. One is the soft skills that get to retention. And there's a form on how to coach people. All great documents. It's pretty self-explanatory about how to implement them, how to use them. If you have any questions, please call or email. I'll be happy to walk you through them. Great. They're great resources, and I can't say enough about them because they can be so powerful to help you in your leadership skills, help them in their leadership skills. When you measure their behavior, you know, do them with them. Look what's being measured. And you're going to create some great results for you. And you will start to eliminate conflict, gossip, harassment, destructive behavior, and getting rid of that negative workplace environment. You will detox your workplace. You will get better results. You get higher productivity. A lot of good benefits to these self-tests, why it's so important. As I mentioned at the beginning, I have delivered five other sessions for Grandin Associates. And please check those out. Just do a search under my name. You'll enjoy them. Great value, as always. I appreciate your time and interest on with that. With that, my objective in this 30-35 minutes was to give you some skills about how to reduce conflict, to improve your productivity. I certainly hope you got some good ideas from this. The bottom line is if we don't deal with negative behavior, it costs us, our customers see it, it lowers our productivity, it becomes a huge issue, and we need to address it the sooner the better. So with that, please email, go to the website, check those resources. I'll be happy to walk you through them if you have. And with that, thank you for being a part of Profit University audio series on conflict, gossip, harassment, destructive behavior, how to neutralize a negative workplace environment.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.